Welcome to Embracing the Muse. I'm your host, Sally Jean Fox, the author of Meeting the Muse After Midlife. And I'm on a quest to discover and understand how we can live our richest, most meaningful, and creative lives at any age, and especially as we age. And I'll be interviewing island creatives to discover what they can share with us about the highs and lows, ups and downs, and possibilities of living and sustaining a creative life. Well, this is so much fun for me today, and I have been waiting for this moment to interview my artist friends, Ray Fortner and his wife, Nancy Wing. Nancy and I had shared something in common. We both had hip surgery this year, so I had to wait a little bit longer to pull them into the studio, but you look like you're doing fine, Nancy, and it's great to see you both. Ray is probably more well-known on Vashon because of his amazing photographs that you can see on exhibit. Often you can buy some of the cards have been available more widely. You're going to be on the Viva studio tour. So there have been a lot of ways to see your art, and it is beloved on the island. And you've also, Ray, done these amazing, you've had these experiences teaching both adults and students within the Vashon school system, and I know you work off island as well, but you produce results with the kids that have me drool. You know, it used to be at the two-wall gallery, I'd walk in and I'd go, I would give anything to be able to photograph like that. And these are all students of yours. So you've done so much for our island creative life just with your teaching. However, I don't think people know Nancy as well, because you work off island, right?
Yes,
for the most
I do.
Part. So it's kind of secret agent Nancy over here. So I'm going to read people a little bit about your artistic background to level the playing field, and then we're going to talk about your respective artistic paths and also what it's like to be a couple of artists. So Nancy Wing is a product photo stylist for editorial, advertising, and e-commerce clients. She's known for her organizational skills and fastidious attention to detail. She's also an experienced studio art director. Nancy began her career as a magazine editor based in New York City. She specialized in interiors and home furnishings, and her work appeared in magazines including Home Decorating and Remodeling, House and Garden, Country Living, and others. Her advertising and e-commerce experience includes work for Nordstrom, Chateau Saint Michel, REI, Amazon, Neiman Marcus, Pendleton, many big names. And you've been going strong, even with the wrinkle called the pandemic that changed life for some of us. You're still creating. And I recognize that you both are artists in your own particular ways. I'm going to start this with a test. I'm going to ask Ray, tell me what is special about Nancy's artistry.
Oh, very good question.
This is one of those, do you really know each other?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, are you really married together?
For Nancy, I think it's the unbelievable creativity and inventiveness of her work. And I've seen her, of course, working commercially because I often teach at night, I'll be the support team, you know, driving to and from studios. So I get to see her in action. And it's just astounding to me to see how she rises to any occasion, because she's creating under pressure. You know, some of us create in our garage studio and we have all night. Nancy has to be ready with a team of sometimes 8 or 9 people working together and deliver and be not only creative, but efficient. And it's quite amazing. And she also is very collaborative. A lot of artists are solo. She always tries to work as a team because, you know, any photo shoot, there'll be 7, 8, 9 people involved. And she's tapping all of them to chime in. She'll set something up and then ask for their opinion. So she's very inclusive. And then the other thing a lot of people don't know about Nancy is she's very good at many different art mediums. I think it's fair to say she dabbles. She doesn't have a specialty, but I've seen her do glass etching. I've seen her do fish prints. I've seen her do painting. I've seen her do drawing. The list goes on and on. And a long time ago, and I'll end it here, but we collaborated with other couples in a show at VCA called Partners in Art. And you couldn't be in the show unless it was a working pair of artists. And I think Nancy got some of the recognition she should have at that time. But we had people making books. We had people doing prints. We had people painting, woodworking, you name it. And it was a fun, fun show.
I am impressed, you know, because you need a sense of design and artistry to do the kind of work that you do, Nancy. But that ability to have grace under pressure, because I know just recording here, I never know when there's some little glitch that's going to happen. But when you have some little glitch and you have a whole crew dependent and you have a budget and you have people waiting, how to keep breathing and find your way to the right solution, that's a really amazing what we would often call left brain activity that you've been able to integrate with your so-called right brain sensitivities. So that's an amazing combo you have.
Well, I like to be prepared for the work that I'm going to do. If my team is organized and the people that I work with know what it is that they have in mind, I try to research and do my homework and know what I need to be doing and what I need to bring to the project. So I do a lot of homework, a lot of research on my own to figure things out. And then, you know, when you step into a photo studio, you never know if it's all going to fly. So you have to be prepared for the plan B. So I do a lot of plan B thinking, too. And I've got to be ready to jump at something that the first plan didn't work out, if there's no plan A that can be salvaged, then I move on to plan B. But I'm lucky that I work with very supportive people on a team. And everybody tries to sort of think out of the box and figure out what else we can do. And it works. We've been, knock on wood, successful. And as one of my team members has always said, one of my favorite art directors has said, they would never know what our plan A was, and we had to move to plan B. So the plan A was our thinking. Plan B is it worked out, and that's what we're going with. So it's that. And I love my work. I love doing this sort of thing. And I think that that's what drives me to keep doing this sort of work I do. And it's kind of hair-raising because we're working under stress and duress because we have a limited amount of time in which to do what we have to do. We're on deadlines all the time. But I love it. It's great for the brain. It's good challenges. So that's probably what keeps me at it.
Fantastic. Sometimes I've known artists who were graphic designers, and at a certain point in their career, they left graphic design because they were tired of doing work for other people according to what the client wanted, and they wanted to find their own artistic voice. Yet it sounds like you're still thriving. How do you keep your own artistic sensitivity alive when you got a job and you're working for a client, and ultimately whether the client likes the job or not is going to be the thing that determines whether it works? So how do you keep your own true sense of what's real and beautiful and artistic for you and work for a client?
Well, I think what's interesting is that Ray and I work for ourselves, so basically called a freelancer. And because I do that, I don't have, for a while I was doing jobs just about every day of the week, and it was demanding and it can burn you out. But I think that I balance it because I have my own kind of other things that I like to do. I have plenty of other projects that are always kind of in the back burner that I need to get to. And when I'm not working, of course I'm lamenting that I should be working. But I like that I have time to do my own projects. And that's just as important because I feel like that needs my energy too. So I don't mind, and I do try to kind of keep both. I guess I've always prided myself in having a lot of energy. And I, to this day, I still enjoy doing all these different things. So I've never minded not being able to, you know, not always do a project all the time, but I do have other things, my own art, my own personal projects, projects for my family that I enjoy doing. And that's what kind of keeps me humming.
Great. Now, I want to turn the same question that I asked Ray back to you, because there are a lot of photographers on the island, and unfortunately in radio, we don't have the opportunity to show his beautiful art. What makes Ray the kind of photographer he is, and how would you distinguish him as an artist in his own right?
I think that for Ray, he's so interesting, because I've seen Ray go through so many different guises of his work. He used to work for the government, Environmental Protection, when we lived in New York. And then he went to work as a partner in a stock photo agency. But each time, I find that he's so intriguing to me, because I've been in the photo industry probably 40 or 50 years, some years before Ray started. And he tends to kind of always, I hate this expression, but I'll use it because it's apt. He thinks out of the box. When someone has a request for an image, when he worked at the student at the stock agency, he managed to think about another way of presenting that visual in a photograph that I never would have thought about, but it works. And he did a lot of textbooks. He would supply images for hundreds of science textbooks. And somehow he always managed to think about how else to present it, the concept that they were asking for. And I find that magical, you know, to be able to have that skill. So he's used that skill to translate from what he did before in government into visual and photography and creative imaging. And now he uses it in teaching, and I think that's valuable to kind of teach people a different way of looking at things, that it's not always the same way, but use your imagination and think about how to present what it is, the expression you're trying to make in a photograph.
That is quite a gift. It sounds like you have, Ray, you have the ability to think visually, to conceive visually. And not only that, but you have the ability to translate that out to kids and adults to help them go beyond what they think photography is to having a bit of what you have, that ability. Where do you find people getting most stuck, or either kids or adults? Because I happen to think that sometimes those of us who are older get more stuck because we have a way of looking at the world that's gotten pretty established over time. But where do you end up having to gently nudge people?
I think usually it's get away from the dependence and the excuse of the equipment. There's always this idea that if I have better equipment, I'll have better photographs, and they don't go hand in hand. I've had some amazing students, particularly when I teach at Bellevue College, because of the whole tech community out there. The tech workers and their partners have incredible equipment, and I've seen some photographs that are absolutely lifeless. Either they're completely derivative of somebody else's work, or they're technically sound, and they're really not enjoyable. There's no story, you know, they're not engaging. And I think that idea that composition is really what makes a photograph. I've tried hard, particularly with my adult students, to get them to stop saying, I only did it with my camera. I'm sorry, my phone camera. You know, the apologies for phones are long since gone.
Yeah.
And this whole idea, you know, I say it a lot in my classes, the photographer doesn't take a photograph. I hate that expression. The camera takes the photograph. The photographer makes the photograph. And it's all about composition, you know, and the story you're trying to tell and the beauty of how you put things together in the frame, which is what I always admire about Nancy with her styling.
Yeah.
And because of Nancy, I've made photo styling a part of all the bigger classes that I teach, including at UW. And I've had students transformed by it that no longer want to just photograph. They want to arrange what's in front of their lens. And they get things that are totally out of their mind. I mean, they're totally out of their imagination. instead of finding another set of leaves on the ground, you know, and paying homage to what nature has given us, there's a power to rearranging what you find.
Oh, interesting. And they're both good, but to have the ability to go both ways seems... I know that there are design principles behind, the art of composition, but do you think you can really teach people that gift that you have of sort of thinking visually?
I think you can. I think you can light the fire in people. I find a lot of students of all ages think they don't know how to take pictures, and I use the word take, know how to make pictures, until you see the results, and they go, oh, I didn't even think about that. And my point with them is, it's not so much thinking, it's already intuitive. Cultivate it. And yes, learn the basic principles, but get to the point where you can practice them without having to think them through and have it bog you down. You know, it should be enjoyable. It's about passion, so don't dim that passion getting hung up in the technology or the principles to a fault. Mm-hmm. Often when I'm teaching, I do try to make people self-conscious about their photography. If they're using a camera with a viewfinder, I'll get them even thinking about which eye am I using, or think about their breath control, because I want them to be self-conscious, but not long after the class. It's just during the class to get them ramped up. And then I'd like to see them go back to a comfort level where it's really about making the image.
Mm-hmm. I want to make a point about what Ray was saying too. He's had me teaching styling classes for the last 2 years, I want to say, for his photo classes. So I do a session on that. And for me, it's my career. It's the job I do for clients. But I want people to understand that styling, photo styling is a tool. And every photographer can use that tool, whether it's just like pushing a leaf off of a out of the way or bringing one into the image. All of these things help kind of make that image your own. And I want them to understand that this is a valuable tool no matter what you do, the kind of photography that you do. There's something to be learned and something useful in understanding what styling means. I'm doing air quotes, what it means to arrange something. And it's often nothing major, but it's just how you see something. And if you see how to make it better, you shift something. You shift yourself in the camera, or you shift an item in the viewfinder that what you're seeing to make it your own. It's not better necessarily, but it's different. And you need to have a sense of pride about what you've presented is what you intended in your mind's eye.
Mm, beautiful. Well, I got my first introduction to your artistry when I saw how you presented food on a platter. Because, you know, for people like me, because it's not really my game, but I will just put food on a platter, you know, and be happy that I've been able to cook something. Yay, you know. But there was something behind how you would place things on a platter that was so artful. It really made me pause and think, that is the artistic eye, because it's not off and on, you know, okay, and now I'm going to go do art and then I'm going to go do life. You were kind of infused in knowing that this would be lovely and it would be more welcoming to people to be color coordinated or, you know, however you did it. So I thought that was a really, you know, that tipped me off to the kind of artist that you are, you know.
Thank you.
Let me ask you a little bit about partnership. Because you've talked about collaborating, you teach and raise classes, he drives you places, you know. What's the most wonderful and what's the most challenging part of being in the kind of artistic partnership where you have your own careers, they're separate and all, but they're weaving together because you both are making a life together, and I would imagine supporting each other in their artistic pursuits. So what comes easily and what is most challenging?
Well, I'll speak first. The thing that comes to mind most in all of these years that Ray has done shows where he's needed to do his own photography, he will always, always ask me. He'll do his selection of images and he will always say to me, what do you think of these? And I will critique every one of them because I think I have that more sensitive sense of sensitive in the way that I'm emotional about what I see. So if I see an image of his that I feel doesn't evoke a strong image, I would say to him, no, I'm not so sure that one would be a good one to include in your show. And I would say probably 4 out of 5 times, I'm pretty good at that, to pick the things that I think will hit a note with people emotionally. And to me, it's like my way of looking at things. And I think that a purchase of an image, a photographic image for, that you're selling, that it needs to hit a certain emotional note with people, with customers, with clients. And I think to me that that's one part of our relationship in terms of how I help him. And he does the same for me when I'm trying to figure out a project for a client. I'll just say, I can go this way, or is this better? And he'll help me figure out which way seems to be the better route to take.
Yeah, I came in thinking that one thing I really wanted to get across to the audience is exactly the question you asked, that artists often are viewed as these solo individuals that work in an attic, and the starving artists make the best art, which is nonsense, hardly. But we don't work alone. People forget that everyone listening is involved in the arts. Either you're the artist, and many people are artists and don't even know it, or you're a support team, a support person, a partner, a friend for an artist. And I always say to all my artists, never, ever endlessly disappoint that support team, because if they're saying, your work is so good, you've got to get it out there, you've got to do something with it, and you don't, sooner or later they get quiet. Almost out of respect, they figure, okay, you know, I've done what I can do. And you don't want to lose that support team, because I've worked with a lot of really, really good photographers, internationally known, and they are some of the most insecure people I've ever met. And to some extent, that drives the power of their art. You know, that's their passion, and they work at it. But if they don't have a support team, they are in deep trouble. So everyone listening to this, whether you're the artist or the support team, critical roles. And Nancy has been a huge support team. She's put up with me at very difficult moments, because sometimes I am very driven. You know, if I've got work to get done for a show, I'm blinded by it occasionally, and I just keep plowing forward. Nancy's been very patient. And I recommend to all my photography students and anyone listening to this who's an artist, do that pre-selection, and this applies more to photographers where we produce a lot more of something and then we need help distilling it. Do a pre-edit and then go to a trusted family or friend or both and get feedback. I wouldn't dream of doing a show anywhere without getting Nancy's feedback. There's such an ace in the hole in our house. To skip Nancy would be idiocy.
You're incredibly lucky because it could go the other way, that somebody's strong judgment about your work could be counterproductive or diminishing over time. I mean, right now you have somebody who has a beautiful eye and is supportive and can be critical mm-hmm. from that place of support. Not everybody knows how to do both of those at the same time, and I think it's a great skill.
I totally agree. You have to seek out the advice carefully. Nancy knows my mother was very supportive, incredibly supportive. You know, if I learned nature from anyone, and I love nature, and that's what got me started, was from her. But I could show my mother a photograph and say, what do you think of this? And she always said, it is so nice. And I finally said, Mom, excuse me, but nice is a 4-letter word. I need more input than that. And I learned, you know, share your work with her for her joy, but not for the feedback. You need someone that's supportive but willing to be more critical, but not critical to the point that we insecure artists could be knocked down. That could happen too. But you've got to assess, I think, who you're going to for support and advice.
Yeah, and that's the tender line, because I know I've talked to people who've gone to art school and been so knocked down by critique that they never wanted to go back to their art. Because that's the worst example of critique without, you know, acknowledgement, support, appreciation, the things that kind of keep you going. Did you go to art school, Nancy? I didn't know.
No. I have a 4-year degree from a university in Arizona, and I studied home economics education. So I was supposed to teach, but I just never had the wherewithal to think that I would be a good teacher. So I went a creative route instead and went to work for magazines. And, you know, that's what I've done all those years in New York, was work for magazines where you really have to be on your game, because it's a magazine and you're out to try to do your best to be creative. But it's, you know, it's one of those funny things. People look at magazines. In those days when there were magazines and when people read them, they would just tear the picture out and save it or not. And, you know, in 4 weeks, as someone, a colleague used to remind me, it would be lining the garbage can in a month. You know, there's that. So you realize you just do your best and you move on.
Yeah. You two have also lived, you said you're working freelance. You're both working freelance. The other side of that, I mean, it's freedom and it allows you to design your life together, which is great. But it also means that you don't have the stable income that you do if you're working for Corporation X and you know that you'll make this much and every January, February, March, and April you get a paycheck. Does that ever create some stress when there are the fluctuations of self-employment coming into your artistic career?
I would say absolutely. I've been freelance now since 2001. You know, before that, as Nancy pointed out, I worked for the government. It was quite secure except for the politics. And then I worked for different companies and different photographers. But in 2001, I ended up going freelance. And I returned to my main squeeze is teaching. That's really what I went back to. But it's been a lot of scrambling to find partners because they come and go. You know, I've had colleges that were my main partner, and then a year later, there are hardly any classes for any number of reasons. You know, the new president, new policy. Mm-hmm. And I'm always working. Right now I'm scheduling spring and summer, so I'm working almost a half year in advance and constantly scrambling to find new partners. And it's invigorating, but it's also worrisome.
Yeah, and then you get things like a pandemic thrown into the mix. All of a sudden, you've come out fine, and now that you're a Zoom-certified instructor, you know, who knows how to work with the technology as well. But things like that, you don't have control over, and you don't have a corporation or a company organization tiding you through that. So, Nancy, have you experienced that as a stress sometimes?
Oh, it's constant. It's a constant kind of stress of thinking about what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. Honestly, if I'm not working almost like full time, I would stress about it. So I've managed for a lot of years to be able to get to do it, to work almost full time, but freelance. But when the pandemic hit, it really just, you know, closed down studios, just really dismantled and disrupted the flow of studio work and photography. So we had plenty of other things that I needed to do, and that was like working on a renovation. So I kind of just switched gears and got going on that, because if working is great, but it also prevents me from getting to some of my other things that I have to do. So it was great. It was a blessing in disguise, because I was able to go focus and refocus and try to move the renovation along. So there are those blessings. But yes, I'm constantly like, I should be working. But you know what? I realize it is what it is for a time, and then you've got to just kind of get your bearings again and figure out what comes next.
Well, you're also, because we're similar ages, you're also at a point where some people are ready to pull the plug and say, I'm not going to work for anybody else anymore. I'm just going to do those projects. Is there an end point for you? Or do you just see yourself continuing to do the freelance work that you do for the foreseeable future?
Well, let's say this. Ray and I looked at each other and said that retirement was not in our vocabulary. We both like working. We think that it's great for our minds, our brains, to keep moving along and creating and being challenged. And I think that's how we feel like we create we are able to keep our creative sense moving along. Yes, physically, it's much harder to do things that work in a studio would require. I even worked for one of the colleges where I was working in a residential construction class where I was the assistant, and it meant lifting and carrying lumber and anything else that needed to be done. And this is after the pandemic I chose to do this. But it's just like I needed this other new challenge of something. I love being involved in interiors and housing and construction. So it was like answering that question for me. But after my, as you said, Sally, we both went are going through recovery from hip replacement, that I have to be rethinking this a little bit more now than I did before.
Yeah, because the physicality, you know, the mind, the engagement, the creativity could be on full tilt, but then you have to go, but I do get tired. It's a different deal. I can't lift as much and all.
Right.
Ray, do you see yourself continuing the same path for the foreseeable future, or is there any end point in mind?
No, I see the same path. I think that the photography is something you can do at almost any age. You know, I've seen people do it in, heaven forbid, wheelchairs and, you know, with crutches and get out there and still shoot. Also, the teaching lends itself. I think the fact that I'm able to do so much from home, ironically, the pandemic, I think, hurt Nancy's work more than it hurt mine because, you know, I went from not knowing what Zoom was as a software program 1 week to the next week leading Zooms for different schools. And it's been phenomenal because I've knocked out, even in good times, the five-hour round-trip commute to teach on the mainland. So I'm a pretty happy camper right now. Stress is a lot less because I'm working much more from home. I think getting a lot more packed in than I ever could before with all the commuting. And when I choose to, I do a hybrid class, and that's often a location shoot in person. And then all the rest is done online.
How brilliant. How,
yeah, it works out. And, you know, it just caused me to think back to something you talked about before in art school, the critiques that can be so brutal. We've totally gotten away from using the word critique. And it's kind of an illusion, but it's not. We talk about feedback sessions and try to make them as positive as possible. And I do it in almost all my classes. We even use a software program or online program called Flickr.com, a share site. And we do feedback in Zooms and outside of Zooms on Flickr. And really meant to be feedback, not critique. Mm-hmm. Positive, friendly, but honest, mm-hmm. but encouraging. You know, I've watched the best of them do portfolio reviews for people, and the best of them always find something positive in everyone's work. And that's what you encourage, rather than harping only on the negatives. You know, any of our work, my work, anybody could look at and say, oh, you could have done that better or differently at least, but make it a positive rather than a negative. You know, as I said earlier, I think probably all or very close to all artists are insecure. And you don't want to exploit that and knock their work down. So to me, it's about feedback.
Yeah, because there's a kind of sensitivity and a vulnerability that can make the artist, you know, because you sense things that other people might miss, and it's not like going and punching a card punching in and doing your job and then punching out and all. It's you. It's your passion. It's your interest. So that can be challenging because it's you. And that place where your friends can say, no, it's not you, it's your work. You know, we're talking about your work. But those two commingle a lot. And so to be able to create a supportive environment where people see, oh, it's a gift, feedback's a gift. And the whole class can learn from feedback of others, you know, and everybody can advance that way. Taking it out of the judgment, that's major. You know, I wish all instructors had that gift, you know, to create a safe space. Well, what have I forgotten to ask you about being in artistic partnership? What would you add in, or is there a question that I could have, should have asked you about this?
That's a good question.
Because I know you did the VCA exhibit, and you brought your art there. I don't know if they had any talks connected to that, but anything that you might say to others who are in the same kind of collaborative artistic partnership like the two of you have?
I would say give each other a space to do it too, the time and the space. I think that that's really hard to find, you know, to give each other some room to find their way, to do their creativity. But don't dismiss the other person, your partner. Keep them engaged and involved, and let them know what you're doing, what you're thinking, where, you know, how it's going along, and involve them in major decisions about it. I think that that's really important because you want other people to be engaged, and they're your audience, your immediate close audience. I think that's kind of important to keep them engaged with what you're doing.
Great, great suggestion. Ray, anything to add on there?
Yeah, it's hard to add on, but I would just say treasure the collaboration. I mean, it's many artists don't have the support at home. I know that from students where maybe the partner is even questioning, why are you taking these classes? You know, and it's luckily it's fairly rare, but it's out there. So where you have collaboration and support, treasure it. And like I said earlier, never take it for granted. I don't think any artist, I think some would deny it, but I don't think any artist can operate without a support base, whether it's right at home. You know, we're lucky when we have it right at home, or amongst family and friends that are out there, that we, it's critical, and it's to be encouraged and supported in return. You know, thank them and get your art out there. If they're saying get your art out there, try it.
Yeah.
You know, at least pay them back for their support that way and encourage them as well.
Yeah, brilliant. Because when I think about how you live your most creative life, that's part of what this program is about. I can talk about managing your time, managing your space, you know, pursuing your learning and all. But community and support of your partnership is like the secret agent, because a lot of us work on our own. The creative drive comes from us. And yet knowing that somebody else is out there that you can turn to, that they will support you when you're down, that they'll applaud you when you're doing well, that they're just there that and can support you to learn and grow and all, it's gold. It's gold. And for folks who don't have it at home, finding it in the community, like being a part of VIVA, the Vashon Island Visual Artists, is also a way that people can forge meaningful collaborations, because, you know, we work alone, but we don't have to do it alone. Yeah. So anything else you want to add in?
I think you've really covered a lot of the bases.
Great. Well, it is so fun to be able to acknowledge both of you in your artistic roles with your artistic eyes and your sensitivity, but also to see the kind of partnership you have, that you've been able to live lives that are that are different, that create a path that are different, and yet so mutually supportive and collaborative. So it's really great fun to talk to you both. Thank you.
I'll second that, talking with you. Great questions, great interview. Thank you so much, Sally. Mm-hmm. Honor to know you.
Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to being back soon and bringing you another conversation with an island creative who can show you how it's possible to embrace your muse and live your richest and most creative life. Till then, thanks for joining us, and thanks to Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FM, for hosting this show. I'm your host, Sally Fox, and I look forward to being with you soon.